Hey Siri, turn off phone.
There's nothing to stop here.
Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we will be celebrating and learning about the history of the Astoria Co-op. 50 years this year. A local community-owned grocery store where all shoppers are welcome, mostly focusing on natural, organic, and grown in Oregon products. The co-op is more than just a place to find sustenance, to nurture your body. It also nurtures body, mind, and spirit through their outreach programs, their change for community. And we're going to learn a lot about things that you may not even know about the Astoria Co-op right here in your own backyard. Today, my guests are Matt Stanley. He is the general manager of the Astoria Co-op. Good morning, Matt.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Congratulations on 50 years. And we have someone who's been with the Astoria Co-op throughout that entire period of time, the 50 years. She is a founding member and the first manager of the Astoria Co-op, and that is Josie Pepper. Good morning, Josie.
Good morning, Donna.
Thank you so much for being here and giving us some background information. Before we delve into all things Astoria Co-op, let's learn a little bit about each of you for listeners who may not be familiar with you. So Matt, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure. I moved up to Astoria in 2008. I had been working at a food co-op in San Diego called Ocean Beach Peoples. Started working there as a part-time job when I was in school and kind of fell in love with the food, the people, this idea that a business could be run in an alternative way to the typical corporate structure, and started learning about how to run a co-op, went to the board meetings and worked with the general manager of that co-op, and then applied to come up here when they needed a manager, and came on up and really have just learned a ton over the past 16 plus years. Really every week I learned something new about how to run a co-op and how to be a better leader, and hope to continue to do that. But it's been a really neat career for me, and really neat just watching the co-op grow over that time as well.
Well, 16 years, Matt, you have been a visionary and you took the co-op to a whole different level. So good on you. Kudos to you, Matt. And you know, maybe before we talk to Josie for a second, why don't you explain for those listeners who may say, well, I'm not really totally sure what a cooperative is. What is a co-op?
Sure. We're what's considered a consumer-owned co-op. There's actually lots of types of co-ops in the world, purchasing co-ops. There's credit unions. Some of those are run as co-ops. There's utility co-ops, farmer co-ops. We're a consumer-owned co-op. And that means our main purpose is to serve our members. So anyone can sign up to be a member. Anyone's welcome to do that. And then the co-op's goal is to create a great experience and service for those members. The members then have an ability to be involved in the direction of the business. And it's the co-op is governed by a board of directors that is elected by the membership. And that group of people guide the strategic direction of the co-op. And then they hire me, a general manager, to be their conduit into the day-to-day operations of the store. And I report to them. But it really is run as a democratic organization.
And everyone is welcome to shop there, whether you're a member or not. That's a very important thing. Some people may not even know. But Josie, let's learn a little bit about you, please. Tell us a little bit about Josie Pepper.
Well, I moved to Clatsop County in 1970 because I wanted to be closer to the beach. I moved here from Portland, didn't stray too far from home. And I could get into the co-op, managing the co-op, or...
Well, yeah, when you moved to Astoria, that was, again, what year was that?
1970,
okay. And did you immediately then say, oh, I love it here, but what we're really missing is some natural, organic, fresh food?
Actually, I don't know if I said that, but I used to go to Portland occasionally to Corno's Market to get my bulk food. And that was a little bit of a trek because there was no place around here to get anything except in packages. So when a group of people buying clubs started meeting and buying their food together bulk through various distributors, then that was in 1974. And I was here for that. So.
And so that's actually when in 1974 is actually when a group of people came together and said, let's do a buying club. And that is what eventually then turned into the co-op.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very I was just going to say, it's very similar to how a lot of food co-ops formed in the mid 70s. There was kind of this wave, a new wave of food co-ops that formed. And similar to ours, you know, I think it was out of the garage of Peter Hudala and Rita Brown and, you know, people just kind of sharing their responsibilities of sourcing the food that they wanted. And it got popular enough that I think you guys opened the first storefront downtown. I think it was kind of where the next to the Columbia Theater, there was a business bay there that they opened the first retail storefront.
Right next to the Colombian Cafe.
Yeah.
And so you did that because, and you know what's so funny is people are like, oh, this new organic. No, it's not new organic. Our grandparents, our great grandparents, this is how food was produced before we got into all the packaging, all the chemicals and all the other things that supposedly make things simpler and easier, but have downsides we're just now all realizing. So Josie, you were next to the Colombian Theater in a small place, and you had then, and then what happened there? How did you get to the next level?
Well, before that, there was a meeting of the group that was the food buying club at Alderbrook Hall. And somebody, when they talked about a store manager, somebody raised their hand and said, I nominate Josie Pepper. And so I got nominated and became the first unpaid manager for 6 months of the co-op and to get it established in the new storefront.
And how long were you in that storefront?
I was there 6 months. I'm not sure when they moved to the Norblad building.
Okay. They moved and that was their
We had a group of people that started it, and among that group of people were some very sharp folks who drew up bylaws to be a nonprofit co-op. We thought it was a co-op, but apparently it was a nonprofit, but not exactly a co-op. But so we had a nonprofit co-op, and I'm a little nervous.
Okay. It's all good. It's all good. We're just
so.
Yeah, I think we moved up into the Norblad building. So the co-ops had, you know, four iterations of locations over time. The Norblad building location was an old bank building, I believe. Currently, there's the River Dog pet store is operating in that location, but the co-op operated there, I'm pretty sure, for over 20 years. It was there a very long time.
Right.
Some people remember, like in the back, they had the safe from the bank. The door was obviously taken off, but that was the bulk herb room, and people would go in there and stock up on their herbs. And we've got lots of neat photos of this that we're putting together a little 50th anniversary video that we'll share a little later in the year here that'll show folks what some of these locations looked like, because it's pretty
fun. That's great. When I moved to Astoria in 2003, I shopped right there, and I went into the herb room. It was fabulous. I loved that location. And it's so the co-op, though, let's just clarify one thing, though, that some co-ops are nonprofits, other co-ops need to make a profit. We now have this spectacular building, this spectacular co-op, which is how many square feet do we think it is? It's
right now the building is 12,000 square feet. The retail is about 7,000.
So it is an incredible asset to a very tiny community. Well, it serves, of course, the entire Columbia Pacific region, but in fact, you do have to make a profit.
We do, yeah. So Josie mentioned, I think, an interesting part of the evolution of the co-op. It was in 2004 that the co-op actually decided to incorporate officially as a consumer-owned co-op. So that actually involved a different filing with the Secretary of State, the official formation of a board of directors, the creation of the bylaws that Josie mentioned. That's really where that structure began. And I think that is a neat thing to mention, that co-ops... go ahead, Josie. Did you
I'm
have...
Sorry. Well, yeah, actually, we drew up a set of bylaws that, from the get-go.
Ah, okay.
And we ran as a nonprofit. It was, we were incorporated as a nonprofit. And so that was... that was very well done. And our purpose was to have wholesome bulk foods that were had as little packaging as possible. So we had young men in the area like Ned Heavenrich built our shelves and our bins. We got a cooler. We used to have raw milk from Burkhart, I believe it was, dairy out on Logan Road. And it came in glass bottles with the cream on top and everything. So we tried to have as much bulk and non-packaged foods as possible. And we had staples like ketchup and mayonnaise and all those kinds of things. And eventually grew to have what we have now.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the there were refrigerators in the co-op that were... they were wooden, really neat pieces of equipment. When I started working at the co-op, they weren't being used, but they were in storage. And gosh, they were really cool wooden refrigerators that I think you guys put the yogurt in and mm-hmm. the dairy in. Mm-hmm. They're really beautiful, actually.
And we had one of those old cash registers that went ka-ching, ka-ching, uh-huh. you know, when you ring it up.
I remember, no computers. Yes. Yes, that's right. No, oh my gosh, the evolution. Well, Matt, you said co-ops have been growing and there's a demand for this kind of community and food, and you do so much more than really just food there. So how did it come to be that now you've been in this building, this new location for the last 4.5 years, and that was a huge leap from a tiny space to a really beautiful big space with an incredible deli, which feeds a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, in between, we moved from the Norblad building up into the Shark Rock building, which so that was our previous location before we moved to our current location. We operated there for 11 years. And when we were in that location, it was the first time we had off-street parking. We only had 7 spaces, but that was kind of a luxury to have a place to park. But it still wasn't really set up to be a grocery store. You know, it was supposed to be 2 office bays. And so we had 2 doors, and it was awkward, I think, still for customers. And we had to receive all our product from outside and bring it through those front doors. And so as we got about halfway through our lease at the time and kind of started to realize, well, gosh, you know, we keep growing. This is a really crowded space for us now. It's for customers, for staff in the back of house, very, very crowded. And we started to think, well, what is our next step? And we actually went out and asked the community. We did a big shopper survey that 805 people completed. And we asked them in the survey, you know, what do you want the co-op to do? You know, would you like the co-op to keep growing? And we heard this really resounding yes. People wanted us to be like the co-op that maybe they saw in Port Townsend or that they saw in mm-hmm. Portland. You know, what we might consider a full line grocery store. And so we started to plan, okay, well, our community has this desire, and we started the planning process to make that happen. And it took, you know, co-ops tend to move pretty conservatively and slowly on things like this. So it took, you know, I think from the point where we had our strategic plan in place for this to when we opened, you know, it took, a good 5-6 years to really make it happen. But that's what I think makes it, that's what makes us a co-op and make sure that we, you know, we're successful when we do take a big leap like this. And there's
and
more.
It has, go ahead. Yeah. Yes. It's worked out so well.
I think yes. So. Yeah. You know, our goal with this new location was to, you know, welcome a broader audience in the region, but do that without alienating our core demographic, the folks who are founding members and supporters. And, you know, the, one of the ways that we financed this big expansion project for the co-op was to go to our members, and we created a special, what we call the preferred share that members could buy. And it was our way of building equity to put towards this big leap that we took. And we raised from our own members over $2 million to put into the co-op. So it was, that's really what gave us the oomph and the gumption to know that we could do this, that we really did have support, because our members were, you know, sharing some of their hard-earned savings to put into this community project. And it actually follows one of the co-op principles, is member economic participation. And I think we exemplified that in a really big way with this expansion project. And now we get to see lots of our founding members shop at the co-op regularly, you know, Richard Hurley and Rosetta and Stuart Bell and Josie, and, you know, the list goes on and on. Folks who I think, and Josie can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think who are really proud of their co-op. And you know, we do have
absolutely
this really neat community asset that a lot of rural communities in the country, I think, would love to have something like this. And so, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with Astoria now being designated as a Blue Zone city, I mean, you think about what are the most crucial things for our health and for community, and, you know, food is right there, and all, and so you are a linchpin of this Blue Zone, because this is what's so important. So we'll be interested to see how that all works, but we already have so much infrastructure with the co-op being there. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're speaking with Matt Stanley. He is the general manager of the Astoria Co-op, which is celebrating 50 years in Astoria. They've been in their new location 4.5 years. It's a local community-owned grocery store where everyone is welcome to shop, and their emphasis is on natural, organic, and grown in Oregon products. They also do a lot for the community, classes and recipes, outreach things. And we also have, from 50 years ago, the very first founding member and manager, Josie Pepper, is with us on the program today. So this history of how humpity bumpity it made it, and then suddenly you have this beautiful big new store, and you opened just before the pandemic. How was that?
Yeah, I think, in some respects, it was very fortunate that we opened before the pandemic. I think it would have been really challenging to operate a small location and do the distancing and safety stuff that was needed. Some co-ops in the country who were in, you know, very small facilities like that had to do, you know, online ordering only, and for a while didn't let people come in the store at all. So very, very challenging, but we were able to, you know, take the safety precautions really seriously for our staff and our shoppers, and but certainly challenging. It didn't give us time to really find our stride operating this much bigger organization. You know, it was just a few months after we had opened that the pandemic started. And so, you know, we went right into this kind of emergency mode for a good chunk of time. And so challenging, I think we learned a lot from it. And now we're, you know, we're already 4.5 years into this expanded facility, and we are starting to find our stride. You know, what's working for us in terms of the right staffing structure and the right product mix and the right, you know, promotional programs that, you know, give people value and reasons to come shop here. And I think we're really starting to find that stride, and we're growing. And I think, you know, we need to keep growing as this community-owned business. We want more people to keep coming in and checking out the co-op. Everyone's welcome. All the prices in the store are for everybody. There are some incentives to becoming a member. So, and anyone can come in and you just sign up at the register. You actually make basically an investment in the co-op. It's $25 a year. And you pay that till you get to 200, and then you get a little stock certificate in the mail that shows that you are a fully vested member owner of the co-op. But when you sign up, to be a member, you do get some incentives. You get 10% off our promotional program, all of our co-op deals. So that's kind of neat. And then you get a $20 off coupon for becoming a member. So it offsets your first year's equity payment. And the neat thing too is that it's refundable. So unlike a fee that you might pay, let's say at Costco, this is refundable. So if you end up finding that the co-op, the goods and services we provide don't work for you, you fill out a form online and we send a check back to you for what you paid in. But it's really neat to see us grow. We're seeing, you know, every week more people coming and checking out the co-op, which is really neat. And that's kind of a thing that's happening nationally right now, is food co-ops are seeing just more people gravitating towards food co-ops. And I think it's because people do want a sense of community. They want a sense of place. And I think that's something that co-ops offer. You know, our staff, you know, we're really proud of our staff because, you know, we know that we're good at customer service. We're always trying to be better. But we won the Coast Weekend's Best Customer Service Award the last 2 years. And that's not by accident. You know, we really do try to hire and train and coach around customer service. And just running a great operation. But people want to, I think, come to a place now where they're going to bump into people that they know and get to know the staff members. You know, we have staff who have worked here for a really long time that, you know, people get to know, like Joe, our cashier, has been here. I think he's at 11 years now, which is pretty phenomenal. Go ahead.
And I agree with you, Matt. I think we really want connection. We are living in a very fractured, fragmented world at this moment. And we want connection with people, with the co-op offers. Again, wherever I am, you know, if I'm traveling, I go to a co-op first to find out like what's happening in the community, whether it's the bulletin board, but you do a lot more than just food and natural healthy, you know, body products, whether it's cosmetics or vitamins or minerals or whatever. But the thing is, there's a trust also when you go to a co-op, and I looked on your website, and I can trust that when I'm shopping at the Astoria co-op, I'm not going to find artificial sweeteners or colors or flavors or preservatives or trans fats or high fructose corn syrup or growth hormones or antibiotics and meat. You know, because there's so much in the world today that we are trying to protect ourselves from. So where can you go and you say, oh, when I shop here, I don't have to worry. They've been vetting everything for me. And we know that food is, you know, community, it's joy, it's sustenance, and it's also medicine, right? And so it is growing. And you have an upcoming event actually this Sunday too.
We do, yeah. We have our beautiful grounds at landscaping, which is all done by Becky Graham, and she does an amazing job for us maintaining an organic, chemical-free landscaping, which is not easy to do for a really big property like this. But she works really hard to do that for us. It's a active pollinator garden, so lots of bee-friendly plants are out there, and she's done these garden tours. They've been really well attended. And it's kind of neat to just come learn how does she do this and learn about some of the beautiful plants that are around the property as well. So that there's more information on our webpage and social media about that event too, but we'd love to have people come out. It should be a beautiful day for it.
And you just a couple of weeks ago had your 50th anniversary party, but we're going to continue to celebrate throughout the rest of the year that this is 50 years for the Astoria Co-op,
yeah,
which is quite an achievement.
Yeah, no small thing, I think, for a business to be around for 50 years and to be community owned. And, you know, I know Josie knows a lot of the trials and tribulations over time, you know, like any business, I think. But the co-op has had periods where it struggled financially. It struggled, you know, to have defined leadership. But every time there were community members who, you know, put their heads together and their hearts together and said, no, we're gonna find a way. And they did that work to figure that out. And I'm just super grateful that they did all that work and gave me and the opportunity to you know, join the co-op and be a leader and be a part of this really neat thing in our little Northwest coast region of the country.
Absolutely. And we just have a few minutes left, so I want to give each of you a chance to say any last things that maybe you didn't say or let the listening audience. So Josie, please, do you have any other comments you'd like to make?
Well, I just want to say that I'm so proud of the co-op and what it's become today, and of Matt, because he's been instrumental in getting us to where we are. And I'm very, very happy with the co-op the way it is now. And I wanted to give one other shout out to someone who has been involved with the co-op for many years and actually was a member and a manager for 17 years, is Beth Candle.
Yeah.
She was for 17 years, in my heart, the heart and soul of the co-op. She put so much into it, so many unpaid hours, and she was a great, great asset to the co-op for years.
Indeed. Yeah, honors to Beth.
Yeah, I think that's the important message, that there are so many people that have sustained and helped us grow this business, that it's certainly not about any one person. And we, the list is very long of people who dedicated,
yes, absolutely,
time and energy, and continue to do so. You know, we have a great board of directors who, you know, they're volunteers, and but they put in, you know, their own time and energy into continuing to, you know, foster a successful business and be a support for me and the store. And so, yeah, I think just a lot of appreciation and future appreciation for all people who, if there is someone out there listening who hasn't come to check us out, we'd love to have you come check out the store. You know, a lot of people, I think it's neat because it speaks to the potential that the co-op has in our region. But it, pretty much every week we hear from someone who says, I didn't know you were here. I didn't know about this. And so that's really cool. And so we know there's a lot of those people out there, and we encourage them to come on in and check us out.
Yes. And again, the Astoria Co-op does more for the community in the sense of double up food bucks, and then you change Roundup for community change. So you've helped a lot of other nonprofits in the community. I mean, again, I would encourage people to go to the website and find out all their different resources, but it's more than just the really excellent food and deli that's there. And it's the people, and it's your commitment to community and reinvesting in it. So congratulations on 50 years.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do another 50 here.
That's right, another 50. And it requires everyone to continue to be part of it, or to, you know, to work together again. To this whole idea of a co-op is cooperating together, because we all need each other. We are all part of the community. So thank you both so much, Josie Pepper. Honor you, first founding member and first manager of Astoria Co-op, Matt Stanley, 16 years, and bringing it to this beautiful thing with the solar rooftop panels. And the, I mean, it's just an exquisite building. And I encourage everyone to check this resource out. Thank you so much. And you can listen to Talk of Our Town. Thank you both so much. And Talk of Our Town airs the first Thursday of each month from 9 until 9:30. Thank you so much for listening. My gratitude to Very. She is marvelous behind the scenes, doing many, many things. We love her energy. And also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for the original theme music for this program. Until we meet again.